There's never been a drill hole in history, and we're really excited because the veins are at surface. We spent over three years doing geotechnical work, and don't know what's there, but we're pretty excited about it. And so we actually have the potential of two discoveries, drilling into the copper porphyry and then the backside of the silver mine.
Good day, everybody. It's me, Steve Yang here, Natural Resource Stocks, where we mine for stories that matter. And one of them is with Peter Espig here, CEO, Director of Nicola Mining. How are you, Peter?
Great. How are you doing today?
Not bad. Peter, before we start, if you can give us your tickers and where you're trading.
Yeah, so we trade on the Canadian, on the TSX Venture in Canada under the, our ticker is NIM. And we recently uplisted to NASDAQ, and on NASDAQ, our ticker is NICM, Nick M, NICM.
Great. Peter, for those of us who don't know your story, now I know your story. I followed your story for quite some time. And for my listeners, I am an investor, and Peter has come on the show before. But for those who don't know, if you can give us the 50,000-foot view and introduce us to your story.
Sure. I mean, without getting into the details of what we do, I would say that we give investors, exposure to silver and gold production in the near, mid, long term. And then we also provide shareholders with exploration upside in the with copper in mid to long term. So we have this combination, as well as lead and zinc. So we have a combination of precious metals, near, mid, long, and copper and lead and zinc base metals mid long term. So kind of a full package. We are a producer as well as an explorer. So we provide shareholders this ability of production and cash flow, and also the excitement of potential discoveries.
Great. Could you tell us where you are? Are you British Columbia for all your projects? If you can give us your flagship and let's go from there.
Sure. So everything we have is in British Columbia, and everything is synergistic. Like, to be honest, like I invest in other companies as well. And I don't like when you have small companies that have assets in multiple jurisdictions. So because you're not big enough to not benefit from synergies, and you need to be need to be conservative with allocation of capital. So everything we have is in British Columbia. Our mill and our copper asset are together. So they're in a place called Merritt, British Columbia, South Central British Columbia. We also have our silver mine, which is 90 minutes away. We have 75% economic interest for the first 10,000 tons, and then 100% economic interest after that in a project called Dominion, which is Central British Columbia. And then we have projects that we that also ship to our mill for processing throughout the province. So, but everything is in British Columbia. Everything we own is permitted. And, in mining, the most important thing is permits. So you can have all the gold or all the silver, all the copper you want, but if you don't have your permits in hand, you could be waiting more than well over a decade to get them. So, that's something else that is important to us, is the fact that fully permitted production exploration.
So what's your plan for this year? I know that we've spoken quite a bit regarding your many, you got New Craigmont, Treasure Mountain, Dominion Creek, and you got Merritt Mill, which we'd love to get into as well. But what's your operational plan? What can you tell me about the exploration stuff as well?
Sure. So I'll begin with operations. So operationally, we've been producing, and I always, Steve, I spent years on the buy side as well. And I really don't like when people come to me with big type of revenue projections, but that's really what we have. And it's really simple in that, in 2025, we really started full production in October. So we had like 8 to 10 weeks of production. And in 2026, we've got the full year. So that one source. And then starting July, July of 2026, we will open and start mining the Dominion High Grade Gold Project. When I say high grade, I mean we're talking at surface an ounce gold per ton. So that commences operations in July. We will also concurrent or July, August be opening our high grade silver mine, which is called Treasure Mountain. So that will be open this year as well. I can't say whether or not we'll be mining this year. We've already spent, there's been over $60 million spent in getting the mine to where it is right now. So it's just ready to start mining or re-mining. The only thing that we need to do is install the ventilation system, reinstall it. And then on the exploration side, we will be doing starting next week. So starting the week of the 27th of April, we will commence copper drilling into the porphyry system of a very high grade copper asset that we have called New Craigmont Copper Mine, or New Craigmont Copper, which by the way is the highest grade major copper mine in North American history, which and is also adjacent to the largest copper mine in Canadian history. And then the following month we'll be doing drilling exploration at our silver project, which is the silver mine that we'll be opening called Treasure Mountain, right? So, and we're really excited. Like, I don't know if you can see this, but this is like, can you see the silver rock that I'm sh kind of disappears when, yeah, there we are.
You
So,
put
anyways,
it in front of you.
that's, there we go. I can, so it's magical. It disappears and that's how precious metals are, right? But so we're gonna be doing exploration on the backside of the mine. And there's never been a drill hole in history. And we're really excited because the veins are at surface. We spent over 3 years doing geotechnical work. And don't know what's there, but we're pretty excited about it. And so we actually have the potential of two discoveries, drilling into the copper porphyry and then the backside of the silver mine.
So regarding New Craigmont, you said it's in the copper belt and it's got a ton of copper potential, but you haven't dug in yet? You haven't drilled yet? So how do you
No, we
help me
have.
understand that?
We yeah, so we have. So when the mine closed with a halo, right? And this is 1982. It was actually the reason it closed was not because they ran out of copper. I mean, it's historic. So there's, but the historic data of the mine plan was there was a halo of 500 million pounds of copper. So we knew that there was copper there. And in 2016 was the first time we started drilling. So it's kind of difficult to comprehend that you have the highest grade major copper mine in Canadian North American history that has had zero drilling exploration from 61 to 2015. And there's various reasons. The very first drill program we did was we discovered a zone called the embayment zone. So, and that's world-class grade. So we have several intercepts of well over 1% copper. So, and that's not copper equivalent, that's copper. The copper equivalent would be much higher. And so that n zone we've discovered. But for American investors, just to make it really simple, so think of like a tree. And a tree has branches. So what we drilled would be called a skarn, which is like a branch of a tree. But we just, so we knew we had the branches, and the historic mine was also a branch. So there was 900 million pounds taken of what's called a skarn, which is like a branch of a tree. But what we're looking for is the trunk, the big ore body, the big major source. And this year we believe that we've, after several years of doing geotechnical work, drill programs, we know where there's this anomaly, and it's a large anomaly. We will drill into the center of that anomaly for the first time ever this year. So that's what's changing. And again, that starts,
Gotcha.
last week of April, and we'll see. We're pretty confident and we're pretty excited. So, and What makes this copper project unique is that it's a copper exploration project that also has a mine permit associated with it. So essentially what you do is you expedite, a decade of applications.
Wow. So you guys are a producer and an exploration company. If you can
Absolutely.
tell us what you're producing, how much you're producing, and then just kind of what kind of upside are we looking at for investors here?
So in 2020, so the revenues from 2025 were double that of 2024. So we've had a 100% increase from all bite. Those are small numbers, right? 2026. I'll just go off what an analyst report has that they have us. They project revenues close to 92 million. The revenues that we'll be generating, those revenues are based on the production that we have with Blue Lagoon Resources, which we're also a major shareholder of, which is a high-grade gold project. It also includes our Dominion Gold project, which we will commence mining in July of 2026. And we're really excited about that because, first of all, we own it. Second of all, if you look at costs, our cost of mining is estimated around $180 a ton. Trucking is $100 a ton. Milling is $50 a ton. And then, it runs an ounce of gold. So, there's a lot of profit driven from there. So we're hoping to get as much as we can. We're like somewhere between, I would say, 5 to 10,000 tons, or like around 5,000 tons. So it's not a big volume, but it is highly profitable. And then the silver project, or the silver mine, which will be reopening, that is not included in the revenue projections of 2026. So that will add another $50 million into 2027. So you can see this ramping up sort of 2026, somewhere between, let's say, 50 to 100 million. And then next year, you would add on another 50 million with the production of our Treasure Mountain. And that's only what we see. Like, we continue to look at other opportunities. We're constantly being approached by bulk samples by other mining companies. So, because really we're consolidating the province, like, for small projects. So that if someone were to ask me, describe in one sentence, Nicola Mining's operational plan, it is Nicola will become the greatest small high-grade gold and silver project consolidator that British Columbia has ever seen. Simple.
That's a good vision statement. You also spoke about, well, we spoke about operational plans for 26. Can you talk about the exploration stuff as well?
So the last week, so in the last week of April, so we're doing a hole into, so to put it in perspective, like to I guess I'll step back and explain how big are porphyries, like really what is a porphyry. And so we are adjacent to the largest copper mine in Canadian history, which is Highland Valley, which is a key asset of Teck Resources. It's one of the company makers that Teck had. And so from Highland Valley, there's been 43 billion pounds of copper extracted to date. And there are five pits that are greater than 6 billion pounds of copper. And that's what we're targeting. We're targeting this massive body that would have similar to that, where you're talking in the billions of pounds of copper. We will be drilling into the center of that anomaly. And now I can't guarantee that it's going to be copper mineralized. We obviously, it's highly likely. And I say that because the branches of the tree are coming from a trunk. So, it's the probability of having copper is much greater than not having copper, because branches don't grow without a trunk. And so that's kind of the first project that we're doing is drilling into the center, and it's like 3.6 kilometers across. It's a very big anomaly that also has great depth. And then the second part of our drill program this year will be drilling at Treasure Mountain. And I'll just
Okay.
also a little bit of provide a little bit of color. So in 2012, Coeur, which is one of the top silver mining companies in the world, invested $5 million at a $200 million valuation into Treasure Mountain and the mill, like not the copper, not Dominion, based on what they saw at Treasure Mountain. And in discussions with Coeur, the key catalyst or the genesis of their investment was not the mine itself, because the mine itself was already known. It was the backside, and there are multiple veins that come out at surface. The grades are anywhere between, we've seen grades of 150 silver to 9,000 grams, up to 4.66% copper, 2.6 grams gold, 27% lead, 27% zinc. And then we'll also start looking for rare earth elements as well, because it's in an area that is known to have platinum. And so, but there's never been a drill. And that's where Coeur direct us to say, they said, well, look at the backside. There's something really exciting there. And so there's an anomaly. There are veins that come out at surface, 15 veins, and they go 2 kilometers in length and 600
Okay.
meters in width. But there's just never been anything drilled. So and that's what we're going to be doing this year. So we have four drill holes planned.
Okay. So, is there anything else you want to talk about in terms of exploration stuff?
No, stay tuned. We'll have results out fairly soon. Like in the copper, we've got fairly soon on the program, like exactly what we're targeting. So, if
Yeah.
listeners are interested, they can go to the website and they can follow the news as to what we're drilling and then or what we're targeting. And then I would say, in a quarter later, we should have results coming out on the drill program on the copper. And then we'll have steady results on exploration this year. And really, that's the upside. And I mean, it's not often you have a company that is supported, because as you know, Steve, my background's debt. Like I was a Wall Street banker, but
Yeah.
debt, not equity. So I tend to think very conservative. So what I like about Nikola is I like the fact that you're supported on the bottom side with revenues, but you have that catalyst or that excitement of a discovery, and we have the potential of two discoveries, which is very rare for a junior mine.
Producer, two big swings at least.
Yeah.
Leadership with if you want to, before we go into leadership, I want to talk to you about the NASDAQ that's been keeping you busy. Can you tell me what the update on that, and what was the rationale?
Yeah, that hey Steve, that's a great question. So the so it, what in doing like presentations and meeting with investors in Canada and the United States, one of the things that we saw was there's a very big difference between what US investors are looking for versus Canadian investors. And Canadian investors are very, very savvy when it comes to exploration drilling, because I can give you an example. Like on the TSX Venture has 1,530 companies listed, of which 900 are junior mining companies, of which 27, including Nikola, have any form of revenue. So it's very rare. So you can think of 27 out of 900. So it's not common that these companies are producers. They're exploratory. So their investors are in there specifically for exploration upside. And that's what Canadian investors understand. They understand exploration, they understand drill intercepts, grade, azimuth, depth. Whereas American investors understand operations. They're much more operationally focused. And so the questions that we were getting about from U.S. investors were really focused. Could you tell us about the mill? What's your throughput going to be? How's this EBITDA? Can you talk about free cash flow? And I would say, I don't like to talk about free cash flow. I like talking about operating cash flow because that shows your profitability. But free cash flow means could also mean that we're not investing into other projects or creative acquisitions. So, and the U.S. investors get that. So you kind of have this, by us being listed in the in on the TSX Venture only, we were kind of missing that market. So it made a lot of sense for us to go public on in the U.S. At the same time, there's a minimum requirement of $4 to list on the Nasdaq. You know, we're 80 to 90 cent share price in Canada. So what we did is we did an ADR. So we listed an ADR that holds 12 shares. We're the first company in Canadian history to do
Okay.
that type of structure on Nasdaq. So, and that mitigates having to do a rollback, and it also creates an arbitrage opportunity between Canada and the US, where you can buy the cheaper in the cheaper market. So, it's worked out well. Obviously, liquidity's increased, but again, you know, we're a pioneer in putting that structure together, and that it had never been done. It was a lot of work. It took quite a bit of time, but we succeeded, and you know, it's always nice to create something new.
Peter, before we go into the capital structure, I want to ask you about your background just a little bit. I know you got a lot of experience in the capital markets, you've got quite a lot of history with raising funds as well. If you can just kind of give us an update on kind of who your team is right now and kind of who you have around you as
Sure.
well.
So I'll start with myself. So I mean, because I'm not a capital markets guy, I was a debt person. Like, you know, I work for, but I would just say this, like, as far as being the CEO of a mining company, so I've been with Nicola Mining since 2013. For me, it was kind of full circle in my
Okay.
life because we immigrated to Canada. And at the age of, you know, from Austria, at the age of 16, I started working in the drills. And so I was a diamond driller. I worked around mines all the way through university, graduated from university at, University of British Columbia, ended up in Japan, and then, you know, did my MBA at Columbia Business School, where I was a Chazen International Scholar, and then worked as an investment banker, worked for Olympus Capital, Goldman Sachs. And you know, but more on the principal finance side, special situations. So, you know, my capital raising experience really came in doing SPAC. So after I left Goldman, I was one, you know, one, I don't want to say pioneer, but I was one of the first groups to get in, first individuals to get involved with the mega SPACs back in early 2005, 2006. Had a successful run of that, and so, you know, I'm a CEO who is a former Goldman Sachs banker, but who also drives diesel equipment, changes his own oil, loves heavy duty machinery, you know, knows what it's like to smell like diesel. I'm heading up to site tomorrow because I spent a lot of time there. Because as a CEO of a small company, being on site means a lot to the employees. They feel like they're part of a team. They feel that there's a mismatch between management and you know, workers. And so that means a lot. And it allows me to understand what the issues are as well. And that helped us in acquiring Dominion Gold Project as well, because Dominion viewed me as a person who understood what it was like to have a small project as well. So there's a lot of value to that. And you know, that said, I can't do everything. And you know, we've got an incredible team. So if you look at our board, like you look at our board, for example, we've got a Dr. Paul Johnson, who is a senior principal geologist, geoscientist with Teck Resources, Malcolm Swallow, globally renowned mining turnaround specialist. Brent Almland is the CEO of co-CEO of Ocean Partners, one of the top precious metal traders in the world. And then we have Frank Heugel, who's a German fund manager, who's very well known and really understands investing in junior mining companies. We have Sam Wong, who's, he's really strengthened our financial team. He's our CFO. Cameron Lilly is one of the top milling. He's our mill manager, one of the top milling guys in the province who really, because there's a big difference between being a mega project and a small, where you're building, you're increasing your capacity, and which we're actually doing right now. We're going from 200 to 500 tons a day production capability as we speak, and that's all paid for. We don't need to raise money for. But Cameron is just a savant when it comes to putting things together and ramping up production and computerizing things, automating things. And then we have Garrett Hopkins, who's our site manager, jack of all trades, and so just a great team, work together well. We're continuing to build a team, and we will continue to execute on our business plan going forward as well.
Peter, let's jump to the capital structure and financing. If you
Sure.
can tell us how much you have in your how much you have in the bank, how long that takes you, and then if you could break down the share structure for me.
So we have right now, as of today, cash and equivalents about $15 million Canadian. Your question is to how long does that take you? Well, hopefully forever. I mean, we're generating positive operating cash flow. So we recently did a raise that was so as part of the uplisting onto NASDAQ, we were required to do a capital round, and that capital round was almost all Citadel, who came in and took the private placement. So if you look at our cap, our cap stack, or our main investors. So we've got 22% would be a German fund called CCM. So that's 22%. Then below that we would have Columbia Capital Management, which is a US-based hedge fund as well. That's they own 17%. Then we have BMO Capital or BMO. So BMO, they have so many names, sorry, but so BMO Wealth Management has 9%, but total, if you include three brokers who are strong supporters of Nicola Mining, BMO would have around 25%. And then myself and my family would have around 5%. And then we and obviously Citadel has come in. Ocean Partners is an investor, so we are fairly tightly held.
And how many share structure, how many outstanding shares? The basic fully
Around
diluted, do you have?
220, approximately 220
And
million.
options and warrants as well.
Warrants. So options are, we would have. I don't have that in front of me, but I apologize. But around 10 million, less than 10 million options. And then we would have warrants would be less than 10, around 5 million warrants.
And what's the strike price on that?
90 cents.
Okay. And then, so what's your philosophy on diluting? I mean, I know that one of the reasons why I was drawn to your company was because of how you got cash flow. You don't have any debt, is my understanding. You got a huge upside. You got, Rick Rule talked highly about you and the leadership in your group. Love to know what your market cap is as well, and curious as to how you think you guys are compared to your peers.
So I mean we're so I'll start with what's my thought on dilution. And so the goal is not to dilute unless it's an accretive investment. So we're fully funded. We have cash in the bank. We have operating cash flow, from our operations, which are operationally positive. So we expect to actually accumulate quite a bit of cash this year. So, I mean, if you just think of, I'll give you two examples. If you just take Dominion and you take 5,000 ounces and you do the pricing, and I mentioned what the cost of production is, there's a lot of leftover money. If you look at the, if we look at Treasure Mountain, we have 400,000 ounces of silver. So there's level one stope two that we're going to reopen first. So there's 400,000 ounces of silver, 1.7 million pounds of lead, 960,000 pounds of zinc. The lead and zinc pay for the operations. That leaves you with 400,000 ounces of silver, and that can be mined in 6 to 8 weeks. So there's quite a bit of positive revenue generating catalyst coming in. But that said, you know, what is my thought on dilution? No one likes dilution, but accretive dilution, if it's accretive and there's then that's okay. You know, mining is based on accretive dilution when it comes to exploration. Now, we don't, our exploration program is paid for this year. So we're unique that way. Our peers are going out and raising money to do exploration. So that is dilutive. Now, some of it will be dilutive and some of it will be accretive and some of it won't. As far as you know, long term, because I get asked this question, well, you know, if you guys are going to be generating positive cash flow in the future, are you going to be paying a dividend? And the answer to that is no. I don't believe in a dividend payout for a mining asset. I do believe in share buyback. I think that a share buyback can because when you're paying a dividend, you're paying a dividend to people who are holding the stock, but some are holding it for it to go up, some are holding it as and some of them are more focused on the capital, you know, capital gains than receiving a dividend. And so there's no choice. If you hold a stock, you're going to get a dividend. Whereas if you do a share buyback, it's the shareholder's choice whether to sell or not or to hold. And so I believe firmly in share buyback. And if all goes well and we start accumulating cash, that is something that certainly consider. And yeah, that's my philosophy on the capital.
So in terms of market cap, love to get your answer on this question. When I looked at you guys in the past and when I've bought you in the past, I thought that you guys were underpriced. My question is, why are you guys not priced higher? Would you agree with that, first of all? And if you can just kind of tell me kind of what the plan is.
Yeah, well, I first of all, I don't, you're never going to hear a CEO say we're overvalued. Right. So, I mean, like I, you know, if see, if I were to say, yeah, no, I think we're overvalued, that would be the wrong thing. But I'll say this. I think that the, you know, look, the market is the market and you have buyers and sellers. And so I think where we are, you know, there's been a lot of pressure on all small stocks. Recently, for the simple reason that, you know, the world's in turmoil and some people have gone to holding cash, more cash, and they've been, you know, selling shares, cashing up, and there's nothing wrong with that. I think that at some point we'll see more stability in the world and that cash will come back into the markets. Now, comparing us to our peers, which, you know, I we're not, you know, this we're just at a point now where we're really going to start telling the story and we're going to go on up the market. And I've been very conservative and we've known each other for a while. And you know, the Japanese have a saying that I like, the wise eagle hides its claws. And so you don't tell everyone how great things are going to be. You wait until you know they're great. And that's kind of where we are right now. So I think going forward, I think you're going to see a lot of accretive, you know, like investors coming into the stock as we start executing, as they start seeing the revenue, the hockey stick I talked about as we start open, you know, in July when we announce when we start mining at Dominion with a positive drill result. I mean, this isn't necessarily Nikola, but you know, a porphyry that is permitted is often valued at somewhere between $300 to $500 million. So right now we've got zero value, because we're not there. But if we do and we're confident, this could be a real home run. So I think if we look at the potential of Nikola, where our share price is, I see a really strong growth. And remember, you know, we're at 80 cents now, but we were $1.25 prior to this, you know, the global instability. So do I believe we should go back to $1.25? No, I think we should go much higher. But I believe we will as we start executing.
Peter, for those who are wanting to follow your story further, if you can just give us your website and how people can reach out to you with questions.
Yeah, so the website is very simple. It's nicolamining.com, Nicola, Nicola, mining. If you can't spell mining, don't bother going to the website. But it's it but and the reason it's called Nicola is sometimes people get confused that we mine nickel. We're in the Nicola region, and we changed the name to Nicola to honor the region that we're in. So that's kind of you know, the website is nicolamining.com. LinkedIn, I think if you Nicola Mining, and then I don't do a like I don't do social media, but I know we have an Instagram. I know we have a Facebook. It's for those people who like that stuff. You know, if you want to learn something on Facebook, you know, forget about recipes. Just go to Nicola Mining, and then you'll learn about mining versus how to make a French toast.
Peter, last time, if you can give us the tickers for where you're trading.
Our ticker for Canada is on the TSX Venture is NIM, Nancy Indigo Mary, and on the NASDAQ it's NICM, Nancy Indigo Canada Mary.
Awesome. Well, Peter, thanks so much for your time and for reconnecting here. For our listeners, I am an investor. I know that Andy and some of us on the team are investors as well. Nicola is now a sponsor. I know Peter and I have known each other for a while. And Peter, looking forward to seeing you in Atlanta.
Awesome. Look forward to being there. First time ever.
Looking forward to it. All right. Thanks, everyone.
Cheers.